Deitinho. Romans 12 and verse number 18. All right, as soon as I get there, we'll quote that. By the way, how many have had the opportunity to practice the golden rule this week? Being kind to someone, loving to someone. Amen. All right, good. Hopefully we're doing well on that. How many had a chance to practice the golden rule, but you failed miserably and you had to ask forgiveness? Amen. It happens. It happens. It happens. Amen. We're human and we're sinners, and so it's going to happen. The thing that we do then, we just ask God to forgive us. We continue going on, ask the person to forgive us, and hopefully they are practicing the golden rule also. And if they're not practicing the golden rule, shame on them. Amen. All right, Romans 12, 18. Let's go turn over there, and we're going to say the reference and then quote the verse and the reference. And by the way, you know, we want to make sure that we're trying to live this verse as much as possible. Is everybody peace-loving?
Amen.
We are. We are. But not everybody else is. But we are, right? Y'all help me out. We are peace-loving, right?
Yes,
we love peace. Amen. None of y'all like war and commotion and, you know, all that other stuff. Amen. We should be peace-loving people. Amen. So we praise God for that. All right. Romans 12, 18. Let's say that together. Here we go. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12, 18. Father, bless now these next moments as we consider a brand new chapter, Lord, in the book. But at the same time, Lord, help us to be mindful of the golden rule that, Lord, it is so much like Christ when we do unto others as we would have them to do unto us, Lord. And help us to be kind to people, compassionate people, loving people, Lord. And most of all, people that really want to do right by thee, Lord. Thank you so much that the Bible is clear. And all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is the law and the prophets. As we go forward now, Lord, bless in a marvelous way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. We're going into chapter number 10 this morning. So chapter number 10. What page are you guys on in your book? Chapter 10. 85. Okay. So go over to 85 in your books here. And once you get there, hold your finger there. And then go back to your index. And your index should be in the very, very beginning, your table of contents there. Your table of contents. Everybody got that? Yeah. Amen. And I want us to step down here, and I want to draw a conclusion here. Notice one in there is total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. In other words, what you give up in this world is going to be a blessing to you down the road when it comes to getting godliness. Number two says the process of transformation. In other words, God wants you to give up something so he can change you by replacing it with something. Chapter number three talks about the power to succeed. We had a verse there that talked about, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So as I'm being transformed, as I've given up to get something, God wants to change me and I can do all things through Christ. Number four dealt with your flesh's funeral, which means you have to be dead to your selfish motives. Amen. And that's a hard thing for most of us. Amen. We don't like to be dead to our selfish motives. We like us. Amen. And we like what we like. Amen. But certain things aren't good for us. Then we came down to verse number five, the greatest promise about temptation. And that verse dealt with that all of us are going to be tempted in some way, shape, fashion, or form. But God gives us the way to overcome any temptation that comes our way. Then we come down to verse number six, keeping fellowship with God. Getting forgiveness when we don't do what God would have us to do. Amen. We confess our sins. He's what? He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. Then we come down to number seven, all things for your good. And we know that how many things? All things work together for what? For good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to his purpose. Amen. Then we come down to number nine, how to please God. And we found out how we can please God there in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we come down to number 9, the golden rule, which we just talked about. Therefore, all things whatever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So when you're looking at these chapters coming down here, God has tried to put within our hearts that we are going to be changed when we come to Christ. Now, when we are changed, we come to Christ. Why do you think that is that God wants to change us? There's two basic reasons. Yes, Terrell? So he can use us. In what fashion does God want to use us? For his own fashion, yes, that's true. But what is that, Joshua? That is his will, yes. But what is that will more importantly? Our lives, amen. What do you say, Brother Kelly? Save souls, amen. So everything that we've gone to thus far, God's trying to change us and make us more like him so that when we come face to face with somebody, who should they see? God. They should see God in us. They should see Christ. They should see a transformed life. Why? Because they need what you have. Put it this way. If you had the cure for cancer, you had the cure for AIDS, you had the cure for whatever it is, amen, wouldn't you want to share that with somebody else? All on TV is every kind of drug that somebody has come up with that said, hey, look, I got the cure for your problem, whether it's baldness, amen, or high blood pressure or high cholesterol. I've got the cure for you. Get my pill, take it, and you will be okay. Now, most of that stuff is baloney, amen. I wouldn't give you a dollar for that stuff, amen. But when it comes to cancer, when it comes to AIDS and things like that, guess what? We want to give to somebody what we have. Amen? So when it comes down to Jesus Christ saving you and changing you, it's to reach who? Others. Anybody. Somebody around you. Amen? They need to see Christ in you. So all that's led up to chapter number 10. Y'all follow me? Amen. All right. So, by the way, the next three ones, notice 11, grace for every need. God helps us in our trials. 12, the law of harvest, that's sowing and reaping. And then 13, your path to God's guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are going to come up afterwards. But right now we're taking a pause to bring up the importance of God changing you so that you can reach somebody else. By the way, if there is no change in you and you talk about God, is somebody going to want the God that you have?
No.
Why not? Exactly. Didn't seem to do you a bit of good. Amen. I had a guy that I work with and he hung out at the club where they drank wine and liquor and smoked cigarettes. And he invited me to his church. Guess what I said? No thanks, amen. I actually went. I looked beyond him and I went. But before I went, guess where I saw him at Saturday night? The club. Guess where I was at? At the club. I was a lost sinner. But guess who I didn't expect to see there? Him. I went to church on Sunday morning. Guess who was the usher that met me at the door?
It was him again.
Him.
Him again,
Pastor. You know what I thought to myself? God didn't do you a bit of good. Did I go back to that church?
No.
Did I get anything out of the service?
No.
Whatever was in there didn't do him any good. And guess what? It did the same thing for me.
Yes, sir.
No good at all. So God wants to go out of his way to change you so that you can attract somebody to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, the more you are like Christ, the more people will be attracted to the Christ in you. The less you are like Christ, the more the world will be attracted to you. Ow, ooh, oh, no, no, say it ain't so, preacher. It is so. The more you're like the world, the more attractive you're going to be to the world.
That's right, Pastor.
Why? You're just like them.
Yes, sir.
But the more like Christ you are, the more people that are thirsty for Christ you will attract.
There you go.
Case in point. I had a guy that my wife worked with, Rod Branch. And because I was thirsty for Christ, he was not like everybody else. And I was attracted to him to get questions answered. Had another guy that I work with, Tony Wells. By the way, how many of y'all know Matt Cayley? Remember Matt Cayley and Vanessa Cayley?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember him.
They're in Louisiana at Shady Grove Baptist Church. Guess who was a deacon at Shady Grove Baptist Church? Tony Wells. The same guy that was with me in Belgium is in Shady Grove Baptist Church as a deacon. And Matt said, we're down in Shady Grove. And I said, is Tony Wells still there? He said, yes, he's a deacon. I said, you tell him I said hi. Guess who called me the next day? Tony Wells. And his claim to fame was, I just drive the bus. He was a children's church worker, and he would go and pick up all the kids. And every time I'd ask him to do something in jest, he would say, Greg, you know I just drive the bus. That was his claim to fame. I just drive the bus. I said, Tony, where is this at? I just drive the bus. Tony, what about, I just drive the bus, Greg, I told you. He was just playing, just joking. So that was our joke. But he attracted me because of his demeanor and his personality and his character. I would try to get him to go sin with me. Tony, let's go to the club. Greg, you know I don't go to the club. Tony, let's bowl on Wednesday night. Greg, you know I don't bowl. I got Bible study I'm going to on Wednesday night. Hey, Tony, we got a football game on Sunday. Greg, you know I'll be in church on Sunday. He would not bend, wouldn't budge, and wasn't nasty about it either. He didn't say, boy, you know I go to church. Why are you going to invite me to something wicked like that in the first place? He didn't do anything like that. He would just jokingly say, you know where I'm going to be. You know what I do. You know who I am. You know what I'm about. And guess what? I respected that. I respected that just because of who he was, who he represented, and how he stood. You give me somebody that won't stand for Jesus, you're not going to attract godly people. You're going to attract worldly people. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So everything that we have studied thus far is bringing us to the point where you and I can be a beacon to attract people to Christ. Amen. You're in your overview there. Let's read Acts chapter 1 and let's read verse number 8. Acts chapter 1. We're going to go through an introduction this morning, and then next week we'll get into the lesson. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. So everything thus far is leading up to your ability to attract people to Christ by the change that they see in your life. Acts 1:8. Let's read that together in your Bibles there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It should be right after the Gospel of John in your Bibles. If it's not after the Gospel of John, you've got the wrong Bible. Amen. So you got the Gospel of John, then Acts should come there. Acts 1 and verse 8. Let's read that together. Here we go. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. By the way, that is what Jesus Christ told the disciples before he left. He said, now I've invested 3.5 years in you. I've told you about myself. You have received me. Now, when you get the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to go everywhere and tell people about me. By the way, everywhere we go, what are we?
Witnesses.
A witness. How many of y'all know the Jehovah's Witness? What do we know about the Jehovah's Witness? Well, yes, they are wrong on a lot of things. Amen. They're wrong on a lot of doctrinal things. Yes, sir. Always knocking on somebody's door. Amen. Between them and another religious group out there, who's the second one that does it? Mormons. Mormons are so dedicated that they will take 2 years and fund their own missions trip and go out. I was in Europe and I went to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Guess who I saw camped out at the base of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? The Mormons. I went to the library yesterday. Guess who I saw camped outside of the library? Jehovah's Witnesses. They are dedicated in what they do, and they will fund it themselves. Both of them are wrong doctrinally on certain things, but they're right on this one thing. I should tell people about who I know. Now, they're wrong in some doctrinal things. I'll admit that. But they're right on going out and giving the gospel and putting it in people's face. Did Jesus go out and get FaceTime with people? And I'm not talking about Facebook time either. Amen. I'm not talking about this is original FaceTime. Jesus went out there and got in people's face and said, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is who you are. This is what you need. Now, if you want it, you can come get it.
That's right.
Is that what he did?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And that's the same thing you and I should be doing. Amen. So the Bible lets us know that they're going to receive power. Holy Ghost is going to come upon them. Yep. They're going to be witnesses and the areas that they gave them. Amen. So let's read your overview there real quick. Amen. Who's got a loud, booming voice that can read that? Your voice carries across the waters. And I mean, it's like if Jesus spoke. Amen. Who's like that? Amen. Ashley, go ahead and read that for us. Ashley, loud and clear. Y'all follow along in the overview. Amen. We can spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, the one main reason why Jesus Christ did not take us to heaven the minute we got saved is so that we could tell somebody else.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Yeah. He did. Otherwise, what's the reason for us staying here?
Right,
to look good?
True that, Pastor.
To look fancy?
No.
To be athletic? To slam dunk backwards like Michael Jordan?
Oh, my goodness.
God didn't leave us here for that. He left us here so that we could reflect him and win somebody to Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, by the way, when let me ask this question, ladies. When you find a good deal when you're shopping, a 2-for-1 or buy one get one free, what is your first inclination after you seize the opportunity?
Tell people.
Tell people. Why do I tell people?
So they can have it too.
So they can have it too. Man, I got a sale over here, 2-for-1 or 3-for-1. Who was that told me about the hamburgers? The dollar burgers at Carl's Jr. Somebody here told me about that. Who was that? Who was that? Pastor White. Pastor White said, did you hear? You can get a dollar burger at Carl's Jr. every Wednesday night.
Lord, you didn't tell us.
I did. Well, this was several months back, amen. Now, before I told somebody else, guess what I did? I went over. Why did I go over?
To verify,
to check it out.
Verify, yep.
I went through the line and I said, do you have these, the Western burger it was for a dollar? And she said, yes. And I said, how many can I get? She said, you can get one, a 4 per person.
Oh, wow.
I looked at my kids.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? I can get 4 for me, 4 for mama, 4 for G2, 4 for Joshua, 4 for Faith. 4 times 5 is $20. $20, I can feed y'all for 3 days. I thought, man, that's we got a refrigerator. We're going to get some burgers. And I said, let's test them. They'd probably give me these little thin cardboard burgers.
Yeah.
Let's test the waters. Got those burgers in there. Were they good, Gregory?
Ooh. Yes.
Yes.
Were they good, Joshua? Ooh. And they had the nerve to say, well, we can get 4. Well, you only gave us 1. We're testing the waters here to see if they're good. Well, how come you got 2? I'm bigger than you. Matter of fact, I got 3 because mama didn't want hers. Amen. So Pastor White told me about that.
Yes, sir.
And we went and we capitalized on that. I came back. I told Brother Hall.
Amen.
After church, brother, let's go get dollar burgers.
I like that, Pastor.
Guess what? It was still the same. It was for an entire month.
Wow.
Every Wednesday, a dollar for the Western burger at Carl's Jr. What happened? One person found out about it, told somebody else, told somebody else, told somebody else. Bev, I'm sorry, I didn't tell y'all. And would you know it? The last Wednesday.
Yeah, they cheated.
The last Wednesday, we went to go capitalize. We told the Duffies. Brother Gary came. The Whites came. And the Halls came. And we came. We're going to seize in on the dollar burgers. Guess what happened? They said we stopped it last Wednesday. See, you know how many dollars you could have made off of these families? We were going to clean y'all out on this last Wednesday. It was over. I'm glad Jesus is not that way. You don't show up and say, can I have some Jesus? No, we're all out of Jesus today. You know, we're not going to get any more for eternity. Amen. I'm so glad it's not that way. The burger thing was only for a month. Every Wednesday you could go in and get the dollar burger, the Western burger. Of course, I wanted to call corporate and say this technically is still the last Wednesday. I want my dollar burgers. But I had capitalized on every other Wednesday, so I wasn't going to be like that. Amen. But for the sake of the Duffies and Brother Gary, amen.
Well, we had been going all month,
too. Oh, you had been going all month, too. Amen.
I don't need them, but either.
Amen. So when that comes out next time, I will check it out first to make sure it's authentic. Then I will let the masses know that it's Dollar Burgers. And Wednesday after church, we all go down and get Dollar Burgers, and they will get a plaque up in there for the Shining Light Baptist Church who ate the most hamburgers on their Wednesday night. Amen. Especially if certain people go that I know of. Amen. All right. So what happens when a lady goes shopping? She finds a good deal. She wants to share it. What happens with the Dollar Burgers? We wanted to share it with somebody else. When G2 was first born, we wanted to share it with someone else. Why? They said we couldn't have any children. When the Lasco Foundation gave us the $495,000, guess what I did? I told every preacher I knew. Why? Something good happened. What did the other preacher do? They went to the Lasco Foundation as well. What am I saying? When something good happens, you get on it. I remember my sister, she's into acting. And she does a lot of plays and things like that. But she got on a commercial one time and she said, Greg, I'm on a Walgreens commercial. And lo and behold, I was watching TV one day and she showed up on a Walgreens commercial. I said, that's my sister. Olivia. I called her. I just saw you. I said, when'd you do that? She said, I did that about 6 months ago. She said, it's just now getting on TV down in Tucson. I said, yes. And she was on Empire. How many of y'all know that Fox show Empire?
Oh, yeah.
It's a gangster movie, so I had to kind of tape it and kind of muddle through some stuff, amen. But she played a grandmother of some gangster person that was in jail. And they went to go see her, and she was made up like an old person. I thought, that's you? You saw that? That was my sister, Olivia. And I said, man, they made you look old. And then she was on Chicago Fire, and she played a convict that this disease had spread through there, and she was trying to get some information out. And I said, that's my sister. What happened? When stuff like that happened, she called me up. Hey, I'm going to be on Chicago Fire. She even played a preacher. She said, I'm going to be on here. And I didn't know what she was going to do. And she said, I'm at the end, you know, where they do this, that, and she came in. Okay, I'm Reverend Dawson. I thought, oh! Okay, Reverend Dawson, amen. They could have at least called me. I could have played that part. Get up on there. I'm Reverend Dawson. Get my best TV face on. Reverend Dawson here. Get right with God. Oh. All right. They say, cut. Fire him. Who hired him? Off the set. Off the set. That's not in the script. It's in my script. It's called the Bible, amen. What am I saying? Special events and good things, when they happen, we want to let people know. My sister let me know about hers. I let people know about Lasco. Susie said, when it's a good deal, you want to let people know. You have your firstborn child, you want to let people know. You buy your first house, you want to let people know. When things, good things happen, you want to let people know. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to us. It's the best thing that ever happened to us. Amen. Getting saved and not having to go to hell for eternity, but I get to, in turn, go to heaven for eternity is the best thing that could ever happen to us. And that is something that you and I should share with others. Amen. It's a life-changing event. We're ecstatic that we are saved. And by the way, if you've been saved for any length of time, just like anything, you can get used to being saved, and it's not as exciting as it used to be. I mean, y'all can identify with that. Amen. It's the same way in marriage. The husband and the wife, they get a little bit used to each other, so they don't have the gleam that they used to have. You don't have the same coo with the children that you used to have when they turned 15 or 12 or whatever. They're not cuddly and bouncy anymore, and you throw them up in the air, and now you want to just, you know, throw them to the side sometime and spank them, but amen. But it's different. You don't have the same feel that you had at your job when you first got there. And what needs to happen when we feel that humdrumness come on with a relationship that we have? We got to revive it. As the song says, I got to count my many blessings, name them one by one. And it'll surprise us what the Lord has done. And when you start counting your blessings, seeing what God has done, you're going to want to tell somebody. You're going to want to tell somebody. Is there something as simple as Brother Duffy getting the help of Brother Tony to fix a flat tire? We look at that as, well, you know, that's no big deal. But it is for Brother Duffy because he can't do that. He can't do what he used to do. That's a big deal. Jerry's just coming off of knee surgeries. You can't do what you used to do. So that is a big deal. So when it comes down to this, sometimes we're going to get into the humdrum or the doldrums, if you would. We need to go to the dose of Jesus Christ and see what he really saved us from. By the way, if you could get one look into hell right now, it would change your perspective. If you got one look in hell and saw the people that are already there, it would change your perspective. If you could get just one glimpse of people that are there and why they're there, it would change your respect of hell and of what you are spared from. Amen. Amen. Hey, my mom came home one time and she told me about a girl that I used to date in high school. And she told me about the girl. And I said, well, what's going on with her? And my dad chimed in. Ooh, Greg, it's bad. It's bad. You better be glad you didn't marry her. And he gave me a description of her. And I thought, oh, I would have been stuck with that. That made me appreciate my wife a whole lot more. I thought, is she that bad? Oh, Greg, it's worse. I thought, oh, my soul. I said, man, God spared me. Oh, my honey's really fine now compared to what I could have had. What am I saying? When you look at what God spared us from and what you have in place of hell, it should renew your respect for God and your salvation. Amen. We tell others about a good deal. We can take advantage of the opportunity. By the way, when my wife and I first got saved, how many of y'all, the minute you got saved, you knew that you should tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? The minute you got saved, you knew that. Amen. How'd you know, Susie? Amen. Who else raised their hand? Brother Latrell, how'd you know? Did anybody tell you to do that? Why'd you do it? Amen, amen. What do you say, Jerry? Amen. Amen. Most folks, when they first get saved, don't know that they should tell somebody else. But they tell somebody else for the same reason Susie Orr said about the good deal. They tell somebody for the same reason my sister told me she was on TV. They tell someone for the same reason I told people about the $495,000. I got something good. And I want you to know what I got. I'm not trying to push it off on you. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just excited. I want to let you know. First time I got saved, I went home. My wife said, we got to tell somebody. And we didn't know who to tell because we thought it was bragging. And so we called our parents, so we got saved. Amen. I went back to work the next day. I said, man, I got to tell somebody. I'm busting at the seams. And some of y'all heard the story already. We had a staff meeting, and they went around the table after the meeting, and they asked everybody, hey, you got anything to put into the meeting? And I said, is everybody done? They said, yeah, Sergeant Dawson, what you got for the meeting? I said, I got saved yesterday. They looked at me like I had two heads. You got what?
You got what?
I said, I got saved yesterday. My boss said, yeah, I'm saved too. And I had the audacity in my ignorance to say, no, I'm saved for real. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that he didn't have what I had. I knew that because him and I went to the same places. I said, if you got what I got, you must be hiding it real good. I said, no, man, I'm saved for real. And they just kind of looked at me. And my boss, who was Colonel, he said, all right, don't be no holy roller. What are you talking about? I don't know what that is, amen. But that was my indoctrination to soul winning and being evangelistic. I didn't know I was supposed to go tell somebody. I just knew I had something good. And I knew what I had, everybody else needed. And I went to go tell everybody that I could possibly tell within the next month here, everybody in the squadron. Said, now, if you go over to Dawson's office, you know what you're going to hear, right? I got saved. And so they come in there, we start doing some stuff. And they say, Sergeant Dawson, can I get this, this, this? I said, okay, here you go. I said, did you hear? Yeah, I heard you got saved. And you know what my follow-up question was then?
Are you saved?
Have you been saved? Hey,
yes,
It made for good conversation. Because they'd say, yeah, I got baptized. And guess what I would say? I was ignorant. I would say, that's not how I got saved. And I'd tell them how I got saved. I was not out to beat anybody up or tell them they were wrong. I was out to tell them what happened to me. This was one time it was about me. I said, let me tell you what happened to me. I know you got baptized. You joined the church. You know, you gave some offerings. And I said, let me tell you what happened to me. And I would give them the story. I went to church, heard the gospel. God dealt with my heart. And I asked God to forgive me my sins and save me. And they thought I was crazy. Crazy about Jesus. Amen. All right. So let's give you some things here. Before we get into this, let's go and understand chapter number one to a degree. So go in your Bibles to Acts chapter number one. And I want to give you some basic background here. Then next week we'll get started into the outline there. Acts chapter number one. And starting off here, how many of y'all have a study Bible? Anybody? Okay, in the front of your Bible, what does this say? Some Bibles just say Acts. Some Bibles say the Acts. What does yours say, Terrell? His says the Acts of the Apostles. Anybody say anything different other than the Acts of the Apostles? Okay. If the truth be known, it's literally the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. That's the truth of the matter. It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, because all throughout this book, what you find here are the apostles being pricked by the Holy Spirit to do certain things, or in other words, to act. They didn't do this of their own volition. This was the Holy Spirit prompting them to do what they did. And so it really, literally, now I'm not saying that your title is wrong, so don't say, oh, my Bible's wrong. No. But the emphasis is the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Amen. So let's notice some things here, first of all, in Acts chapter number one. And notice here in verse number one, we're going to find pretty much two basic things here in verses one and two. And this is the persons involved, and it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Notice verse one. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So Luke is the writer. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was written to the same guy, Theophilus. He was a Greek ruler. And he had gotten saved. And so the Acts of the Apostles was written to Theophilus to help instruct him to now follow up on what Jesus Christ left off the apostles to do. Because the Gospel of Luke talked about what Jesus did while he walked on the earth. Now he's writing back to Theophilus and saying, okay, now when Jesus left, this is what happened. Okay? He said, now, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, notice this, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, that he, through the who? Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto who? The apostles whom he had chosen. So the persons involved here in verses 1 and 2 is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Notice the proof involved here, verse 3. To whom, who's the whom? The apostles. Also, he showed himself alive after his passion by many what? Infallible what? Proofs. These are things that are true beyond the shadow of a doubt. Amen. Many infallible truths. Amen. Being what? Seen of them how long? 40 days, and speaking of what? Things pertain to the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he came back, he spent some time with the disciples and said, look, I taught you guys for 3.5 years, told you a lot about the Old Testament way of things. And I told you about the way things are going to change right now. Now I'm leaving, and I want you to know how to correlate the Old Testament with what I told you as you go forward. Make sense? Because, by the way, the New Testament is nothing but a fulfillment of the Old Testament. That's what it is. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. So he said, I left you there, and I'm speaking with you guys to twist it all and bring it all together and let you know what you need to do. Okay, verse number 4 and 5, the promise involved here. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? The promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have what? Heard of me. By the way, what was most of the Old Testament talking about? How to live for God, how to please God. What did they have to go by to please God in the Old Testament? The law. Was the law outward or inward? Outward. They had to obey an outward law. He said, now the promise from the Old Testament was, I'm going to put my law in you. I'm going to put my law in you. So you don't have to obey from without, because I'm going to put my law within. What is everybody born with initially that helps us to operate in the world? Conscience. And your conscience guides you based upon God's laws or man's laws? Man's laws. Whatever the local law is, your conscience guides you in that. Okay? If man says cannibalism is right, guess what your conscience says? Cannibalism is right. And then you go and you eat people. I'm glad y'all are not like that. Amen. But if your law tells you that eating people and killing people is bad, what's your conscience going to tell you? It's bad. If your conscience tells you red light means stop, what do you do?
Stop.
We hope. Amen. If your conscience tells you the stop sign says stop whether a cop is there or not, what do you do?
Stop.
Your conscience should bug you when you don't stop.
Yes, sir.
It should say, you old lawbreaker. Shame on you, ran that stop sign. I saw you, and you're looking behind, well, there's no cops here. You don't have to have a cop. I'm your conscience. You ran that stop sign, and you know that's not right. When kids steal the candy out of the candy jar or the cookie jar, their conscience will tell them, you know that's not right. Well, there's nobody looking. I'm looking. Well, who are you? I'm your conscience. Shut up. And they take it anyway.
Yes, sir,
amen.
Yes, sir.
And then mom and dad has the camera up there. They're busted. And so not only did conscience bust them, mom and dad busted them. Amen. So he says now here, you've heard of this promise. Verse 5. For truly, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with who? Holy Ghost, not many days hence. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come. He was promised. He's going to be within you. He's going to tell you what's right. Now, how does the Holy Spirit tell you what's right? By the Word of God. So the more of the Bible you know, the more the Holy Spirit can guide you. Amen? All right, so we've got that, the promise there. Notice the priorities, verse 6 and 7. He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What was Israel waiting for all along since the days of David? The Messiah. And what else besides the Messiah? The king and the kingdom. They said, we had David, and it's been promised to us that David's kingdom is coming back again. When is it coming? And guess what? Jesus is that king, but guess what? It wasn't time. Wasn't time. Why wasn't it time for the king and the kingdom yet? Who was the gospel given to thus far up to this point? Jews. What are we? Gentiles. Don't y'all want a part in the kingdom?
Amen.
Guess what? We weren't included at that time. And so if he were to establish the kingdom then, you and I would not have been included. And so he says, it's not time yet. Notice what he says down there. He says, verse number 7 again, the priorities involved. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So the priorities involved. They said, is it time for David's kingdom now? Is it that time right now? He says, no, it's not for you to know the times. Not for you to know the seasons. He says, don't worry about that. That's God's business. But guess what he does say? Verse 8. What does he say? But ye shall receive power. He said, you know what? God the Father has put that in his own power, but you are going to receive power. What? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. By the way, when does the Holy Ghost come upon you? When you get saved. The minute you get saved, the Holy Spirit gets you. Amen. He gets inside of you. Amen. And he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be what as a result? Witnesses. So in other words, what he's saying is you're going to receive power. The power has a purpose. What's that purpose? To be witnesses. Amen. Now, if I see an accident and they summons me to the court, they say, all right, you saw this accident. They summons me to the court. What is my responsibility? To tell what I saw. So I had the power to witness it. But now my purpose in court is to tell what I saw. So when you receive the Holy Spirit power, your purpose then is to tell somebody about it. Amen. By the way, Why do you think Carl Jr. had the dollar hamburgers? Exactly. That's the main reason why Carl Jr. gives the dollar hamburger. Because they know if people know there's a dollar hamburger, I'm going to tell somebody who's going to tell somebody who's going to tell. Who wins in the end? Carl Jr. We lose. We're giving up our dollars for burgers. We think we're getting more for less, and they're cleaning up. They win. When you tell somebody about Jesus, who wins? They win, and heaven wins. Why? Jesus came to this earth to die for sinners. So heaven wins because Jesus' will is fulfilled. They win because they're going to heaven. You win because you're telling somebody about it, and you get a soul winner's crown. So think about that. I get a soul winner's crown. Why wear my crown around? I'm royalty. Hey, got my little crown. Boys will probably cock it to the side. Girls will want to garnish it with stuff. Kids will probably bang it on something. Amen. Hey, we can get a soul winner's crown so everybody wins. There's a power, there's a purpose, and there's a place that he wants us to be a witness. Notice what he says down there. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in where? Jerusalem and where else? All Judea and in where else? And in Samaria and where else? Unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. So there's going to be program that is giving out the gospel that involves you and I. And that's what this chapter is all about. Before we leave here, Acts 1:8 is going to be your verse, and I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to ask you to go to the front and get you a track, whether this kind, which is for children, whether this kind, which is a comic book, I would encourage you to read it first before you give it to someone. Or this kind, get five of these, any five you want, and give out five tracts between now and next week, next Sunday. Amen. Give out five. You can leave them at a cash register attendant. You can leave them with the garage person that you work with. Amen. It can be a coworker, a relative, a neighbor, grocery store, department store worker, restaurant worker. But you've got to invite them and say, you know what? I've got the greatest news for you. God loves you, and he wants you to be in heaven with him. Here's an invitation for you to come out and experience my church. Be my special guest. So get five of any track that you want and keep track of what the response is. Now, I would encourage you, be loving when you do it. Everything that we've done to this point has been to change you so that people will receive what you have to offer. You want them to receive you. Now, if you just went off on somebody and told them to get lost and, you know, take their dog with them, amen, are you going to want to invite them to church? Are they going to want to come? Don't do that. I remember I got caught by the cop for speeding one time. And after, and I got to church, amen, and he pulled me over in the church parking lot. And afterwards, I said, well, here's an invitation to my church. You know what he said? No, thank you. You know how cheap I felt? Why? You lawbreaker. Well, come to your church for it. Probably a bunch of lawbreakers in there. Why don't you be a better example of a good, outstanding citizen than now I may come to your church? Make sure your example is one that people would want what you have. And so be an example. By the way, I asked Matt Cayley, I said, do you know Tony Wells? He had nothing but great things to say about Tony Wells. He didn't even know I knew Tony Wells. So Tony Wells' testimony is still the same as it was when he worked with me back in 88. Testimony is still the same. And this is 2019. And he's a deacon now. So take five tracts of your liking, whether it's that kind, whether it's that kind, whether it's this kind for kids, whether it's this kind or this kind, take five. And between now and next week, hand them out. And come back and be ready to share what people said when you shared the gospel with them or shared an invitation with them. Some of them may say, I go to church already or something like that. Say, well, I would still love to see you someday at my church. I would still love to see you. And take on that. We'll talk about that next week. But Acts 1:8, we are going to talk this chapter about the need for good, godly witnesses in this world. And if you have received Christ, he wants you to be a witness of how good he really is. Is he good? Yes, he is. Should we want to tell others how good he is? Yes, we should. He's better than Carl's Jr.'s. Amen.
Yes, he is.
And by the way, you eat Carl's Jr., you're gonna be wanting something else to eat. You get Jesus Christ, your satisfaction will be in Christ when it comes to salvation. Amen. So Acts 1:8 is your verse. Amen. Give out five tracks this week. Amen. And we'll talk about it next week. Father, bless now the refreshments that we have next door. Thank you that you have made us a witness of your goodness and your grace and your glory. God, help us to be tremendously thankful for what you've given us, Lord. We thank you for everybody that has bought snacks. And Lord, we thank you that we get a chance to partake of it. Help it to be used to give us the energy that we need for the next hour. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you are dismissed.